2 and 3. Without a doubt.
It only depends if there's windows there and what the view's like outside.
Well, okay. That's a mitigating circumstance, right? Right.
I want 2 or 3 because I can observe the rest of the room.
Right. Also. 2 and 3 are the most valuable seats in this setting.
Once you capture the people across from his attention.
Yeah. If you're in New York, you've got to have your back to the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are the most valuable seats. Where do you want the customer to sit?
Whichever one of them wants.
Okay, now I've heard all different kinds of scenarios here. Where do you want your customer to sit?
1 and 3.
2 and 3.
You've got their attention captured because they're
okay. How many say 1 and 4? Okay, we're going to execute the 1 and 4 guys. Absolutely. You want to isolate the customer so you can pump your bullet down his throat while he's having lunch. Boy, that sounds like a great way to develop a relationship. You've already agreed that 2 and 3 are the most valuable seats. Where do you want the customers to sit?
2 and 3.
The best way to have this occur is when you go with a customer, you're generally going to be behind the customer, except for when you open the door for a customer. So you're going to go outside of yourself, open the door for a customer, let him come in, and walk over and then say, please, be seated. If the customer himself chooses 1 or 4, don't get him up and say, hey, you dummy, sit over here.
Mitchell said,
yeah,
here.
Yeah. But let me tell you, you certainly don't want to come in there, you and your distributor rep, and you guys grab these 2 seats, and now the customer's sitting there getting pissed.
Because
he can't see. I need some food. Is there any waitress? I got to turn around. It's just a nuisance. These are the best seats. That's where we want the customers to sit. When you have a lunch with a customer, it's about making a guy feel good. So I don't recommend any business talk over a lunch. If you finish the lunch and you have a good time talking about golf or fishing or hunting or whatever, and you have a really nice lunch, that's the important thing to do. Now, you might say to the customer, maybe we could have lunch and we could talk about our testing at this particular account, but you're not going to talk about testing at that particular account. You have a nice lunch. After it's over, if the customer wants to go into some technical thing or something, you could have your briefcase or whatever with you. But don't ever force a discussion and test reports and, upset a lunch. A lunch is a lunch. It should be a nice lunch for the customer. This is very, very important. Now, one of the things that I like to do when I go for a walk with a customer, I always like to get the customer out of his office. And if you think this isn't important, you just have to do it. You have to try this with other people. If I come over here and I sit here on this side of the table, you're going to get a feeling, Magnus. If I come around on the other side of the table, and this is something that just happens, it is not a contrived thing. If I take this chair, and Matt, let me ask you to, well, let me jump in your chair, Matt, just for a second. If I come over and I sit down like this, I'm the same guy, you're the same guy. The only thing that's changed is that now I'm sitting alongside of you, whereas before I was sitting over there. I don't know about you, but in most cases, this creates a much more comfortable association than when I'm sitting on the other side of the table. Now, if I was sitting over here like this, I know you might like it better, but there is obviously a space issue. You don't want to be too close. But who do you sit alongside of? Who do you sit alongside of? Your family, your loved ones, your friends, and so on. Who do you sit across the table from? Usually, divorce lawyers and other, ex-wives and things of that nature. So there's a lot of negativity associated with sitting across. So I don't want to belabor the psychological benefits of sitting alongside of someone, but it does make a big difference, yes.
But on initial call.
Oh, yeah. Initial call, you don't get the customer, so take them out.
Okay, thinking more friends as well. I mean, there is a... Me sitting on behind the desk, there is a
power
status position. Of power.
Yes.
And you kind of saying, you know what, you are the boss.
Yes.
I'm going to sit on the other side of the table and and let you
be
in control of
that. I mean, you can't go into somebody's office and say, Mike, would you get out of your seat? And because, I mean, you can't do that. You have to go with the, where the guy is seated. But there are cases, and it's better for you and the customer if you can get out of that situation. And that's why I say, you can say to a customer, hey, listen, would it be all right if you were to show me around a little bit so I can get a better sense of where I might be able to provide some value to you? And or, you know, wow, what a wonderful facility you have here. I've never seen such a beautiful facility. I wonder if I could schedule an appointment for you to give me a little tour, just show me around, or have one of your people give me a little tour. Boy, what a nice way to put it, huh? And I go, oh, you don't have to make an appointment. Take you out there right now. Oh, great. You know, that's about building somebody's status as opposed to, I want a tour, or, you know, let me see your stainless steel. You know, take me to your stainless steel. You know, let's try to present our questions in a fashion that can build some rapport with the customer. Let's get a tour. So let's say you go outside. Then I like the idea, if you go into the factory, if you can find a round table, and often you can find that.